Amen. Praise the Lord. If you could stand and turn your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 18. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 18 and look at verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. The Bible says, Jeremiah 18, 1, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on a wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hands of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this passage of Scripture. And thank you, Lord, for reminding us that we are clay, and you are the potter. And help us this new year, Lord, to be moldable. Not to be hard clay, but to be soft clay in your hands. So you can mold us to be vessels of honor. I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we're looking at this passage of Scripture today, and again, we set, every year I set a goal on what we should do, or was my goal, the Lord laid my heart for us, what we should do for the coming year. But to me, is that actually, to be honest with you, it's kind of hard to lay any goal with the uncertainty of life. So I put about this message about learning with the potter. Why don't we this year actually allow ourselves to be moldable clay? And let the Lord mold us. Instead of us relying on circumstances and problems and issues of life, what's going to be today, what's not going to be today, is the church going to be open today? Is the church going to be open next week? Am I going to be able to go to work tomorrow? Is there somebody sick? And as we go from uncertainty to uncertainty, and our heart is not at ease, it's always turmoil inside of our hearts. Why don't we just go to the potter's house? May I ask you this question? Do you ever went to a potter's house in your life? Do you ever see someone actually work clay? You need to go see that. I mean, don't just rely on TV. You need to go see that for yourself. It's a dirty place. It is. It's clay and water. But watch the potter's hand. Out of a lump of clay, he makes something beautiful. And there are some people out there that actually give lessons on that, where people actually can learn how to mold clay and turn it into something good. But I wanted to actually, Lord willing, next week we have a new banner, and then we will take that banner down. Is this year is going to be learning, not learning, listen to this, with the master. That's my theme for the year. You know why? Because I think in this uncertainty that we live in, in the year that we live in, I think we need to look at Jesus, our great potter, our great master, and learn from him how to face life. I think so. Because I think there's a lot of fear, a lot of uncertainty, a lot of unease about life these days, how we're going to go about it. I'll give you an example. I was at the Price Right, shopping for the pantry. And I needed to call my wife. And my wife says, I can't understand you. So I just moved my mask to talk with my wife. And I was in a section by myself there. And I look in front of me, it was the manager. And she's like, I was like, I mean, I know exactly what she was saying. But as soon as I finished talking, I put the mask back on. And when I was not doing that, I try to respect, you know, they don't want you to wear a mask. But she could not understand. But this is the unease of life. It's uncertainty, it's fear, it's anxiety, it's all kinds of things about this stuff. But I think this year, if we're going to set a goal, I think our goal should be set on Jesus, the great potter. Let us be moldable this year. And let him put his hands on us and work on us and make something wonderful out of us. So by the end of the year, by the end of December, we will look at back in our lives and say, wow, did he really mold me to something I was not? You know, the purpose of the potter is to make us vessels of honor. That's what God wants us to do for us. So one of the reasons that I'm glad that it is a day called New Year's Day is because we can start everything new again. People start all kinds of new things again. Did you went to get a gym membership? A lot of people do that. I mean, this year maybe not because there's a lot of people, you know, they don't want to wear masks. I think it's hard when you're running the treadmill with a mask on. But anyway, you don't want to suffocate and have a heart attack. But but anyway, people like to start things new. For an example, as my habit, I always start anew with my Bible reading. I always go through the Bible in 1 year, and I actually what I did, I think, was around the end of October, I finished my Bible. So I tried to go back again, and I said, I'm not going to do that. So I started just reading different books of the Bible. But I go, in the beginning of the year, I start systematically from the Bible from beginning to end. So it's something that I do. I was like, well, maybe you never did. Maybe you never read through the Bible. Why not start it? I started this morning, I read 5 chapters. So I'm on Genesis chapter 5. So anyway, it is a good thing to do. So we need to do something. It is a time to do new things, even though life is as normal as always been. Some people this year, I can't wait to get rid of 2020 because 2021 is coming out and we make everything new. Life goes on the same way. But you know what? We can start things new in any given moment. We can say no more this, from now on it's going to be this. And we can start anew. So, isn't it great to think that we are able to start over again some things? Folks, we are having a brand new year ahead of us now, and it is a time to reboot, unplug, to restart. Are you ready for it? Are you ready to put yourself in the hands of the potter and let the potter mold you to something that you desire to be, maybe you can never accomplish? Listen, the best place you can be this coming year is in the hands of Jesus. Amen. That's the best place you can be. Now, I do the best that I can. I try to do the best that I can. Listen, don't put your hopes on people. Yeah, that's right. Because they will disappoint you. Our government disappoints us all the time. Our leaders disappoint us all the time. The loved ones we have disappoint us all the time. But Jesus never will. So what do we do this year? Put yourself in the hands of the potter. And put yourself in that wheel. And let him put you around. And let him mold you. Be moldable. I think the New Year's is one of those times that we can have a total makeover in our lives. Some of us need extreme makeover by the hands of the potter. Some of us needs to get in better shape in the hands of the potter. Some of us need to start a diet as soon as today. Some of us need to exercise as soon as tomorrow. So whatever it is, but I tell you what, I think that we as people, we in this time that we live in, I think we, believe me, and I'm being sincere with you, is this. Allow ourselves to go to potter's house. Put yourself in the wheel and let God mold you. I think that's the best way to face this life this year. Now, let's look at this from several points this morning about going to the potter's house and let the Lord mold us. Let me tell you, that's what we're going to look all year around. We're going to learn with the master. We're going to the potter's house. and learn with the master, not from the master. We're going to learn with Jesus. So to speak, we're going to sit at Jesus' feet this year, and we're going to let him teach us his ways so we can be more like him. So let's look at this from several points. Number one, the potter's purpose. Look at what it says in verse 2. It says, arise. See, that's a wonderful word right there. He says to me and you, get off the couch. Get off your lazy situation. Get off. Stand up. Arise and go where? And the word says, and go down to where? The potter's house. And there I will cause thee to hear my what? Words. You see what God says right here? Arise, you lazy. Arise, you sleeper. Get up. Do something. Come to my house so I can teach you. You know, the people that never learn anything is the people that never go to the potter's house. Think with me about what the potter have in his hands. Clay. All the things that God can compare us to, he compares you and me to clay. Some people think that is an insult to be compared to sheep. What about compared to clay? God calls us a sheep, but God also here says we are clay. Exactly, that's who we are. All right? We think we're so sophisticated. We think we just know we're better than everybody else. We're just a piece of clay. We even sing, have thy own way, Lord, have thy own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. You see that? While I am waiting, yielded and still. What does the clay do in the wheel? It just sits there. And what the potter does, it molds the clay. Are you moldable? Are you those hard clay that the potter looks at and then says, ooh, I'm going to get another piece of clay because this one is not moldable. You see, letter A, the reality of who we are. What is clay? Clay is a glorified lump of earth. That is what clay is. Listen, please. This is not even an analogy. This is not even a comparison. It's not even a metaphor. It's not a make-believe. This is what we are. This is the reality of our beginnings. If we look at creation, where did we came from? Oh, you know, we came from extraterrestrial life somewhere. That's a bunch of baloney. It's hard to believe. You know, we came from another civilization. Oh, where that civilization came from? We just can't keep asking questions. Listen, God says in his word, we came from clay. He made it, he molded, and he bred it, breed in that worthless clay life. People say it's hard to believe. All right. The Christian life is a life of faith. So do you understand that our beginning are not very auspicious, so to speak? God stepped into Edom, grabbed a lump of earth, shaped the earth into that lump and formed like a man and blow into his nostrils, and man became a living soul. Folks, evolution doesn't have a right at all. It doesn't take millions of years for man to become who he is. Creation didn't take millions of years. It started by the hand of the potter. And man came to live to life when the potter blew the breath of life in his nostrils. Let me tell you, if we evolved, we were still making ourselves. You look in the mirror and say, I don't like my nose. Let me shape this nose to something else. And we can, listen, this thing about evolving, it makes no sense. Right. You say, why it makes no sense? Listen, I'm going to be very open-minded with you this morning. I have two dogs in my house. You know what they do? They do what dogs do. Right. They eat, they sleep, and they look at you. They don't say, hey, what's for supper tonight? Oh, and let me sit in my seat over there. No, they don't do that. You know why? Because that's the way God created them to be. They did not evolve to something. You know what? The gorillas are still gorilling in the trees. You say, well, we can form monkeys. Well, the monkeys still monkeying around. All right? Actually, most of us are afraid of heights, don't even like trees. But we're not going to believe in those things. There's nonsense that goes on. Let me tell you, we came from the potter's house. God is the one who put life on planet Earth. Folks, it is the breath of God that gives life meaning. Without the hand of the potter and the breath of the potter, you and I are absolutely nothing but a piece of clay. Let me put it this way. It's not when we say when somebody died, ashes to ashes. What is we saying? From clay we came and from clay we go. You know, some people think they're everything in a bag of chips, right? In a bag of chips. But we just here by the grace of God. So please understand that clay is just clay until the potter molds it and shapes it into a form. You have a nice coffee cup made out of porcelain and it's beautiful. But before it became beautiful, somebody worked it. Somebody molded it to be what it is. And that's what God does when we allow ourselves to go in a wheel and let God make in that molding. You see, Psalm 100 verse 3 says, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." You see, God says, the Bible says right here that God is the one who made us. We didn't make ourselves. So number one, we see the potter's purpose. Number two, we see the potter's strive for the clay purity. Look what it says in verse 3. "Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheel." Let me tell you this. For God to mold you, then you need to go there to the potter's house. You need to put yourself in the wheel. Otherwise, he won't mold you. We have a whole year ahead of us. Listen, it's two things. Or you either go to the wheel of this world and let the world mold you, or you go to the wheel of the potter and let the potter mold you. Either way, you go into a wheel. Now, my thing to you this morning is, on which wheel are you going to? You can go to the wheel of this world and let the world mold you to the way the world wants you to be or think or act. But you can go to the potter's house and let God mold you. It is a choice. Because God says, arise. And let me tell you, we will arise, but some of them go in the wrong direction. Before the potter puts the clay on the wheel, he inspects the condition of the clay to see if there's any impurity on it. And let me tell you, I wish all of you will go to a place where they have a potter and you see how they're working the clay. When that man goes and grabs a piece of clay, the first thing before he puts that clay in the wheel, he looks at it. He makes inspection on it. Is this good? What is he? He's going to see if there's any impurities on it. What impurities? Little rocks, little stones, little twigs, all out of it. He takes everything out. You know why? Because when he makes a product, he wants to make the product that is beautiful. Full of impurities. And that's what God wants to do for you. He wants to make you beautiful. And let me tell you. Why he wants to make that beautiful? Because he loves you. Let A, clay, clean up old habits. It says, "And went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheel." How we ought to go to the potter's house. Let me tell you, all of us have old habits. And some of them are not very good habits. You know, in order for the potter to mold you, to make something beautiful out of you, guess what you need to do? Get rid of the old habits. Maybe it's smoking. Maybe it's alcohol. Maybe it's drugs. Maybe it's lust. Whatever it is, God says, get rid of it. So he can make something beautiful out of you. He wants to make you a vessel of honor. Something that people look and say, wow, that's beautiful. And let me tell you, a child of God who walks with the Lord, who has in fellowship with the Lord, I don't care what the world thinks, but let me tell you, it's a beautiful vessel of honor for the world to see. Clean up old habits. Listen, what kind of old habits you have in 2020 that you look at it and say, I don't like those habits. Listen, 2021, let me tell you, get rid of them. They don't build you up. They don't encourage you. Why have it? Maybe your old habits is sleep late. Maybe your old habits is overeating. Maybe your old habits is lying. Maybe your old habits is gossiping. Whatever it is, get rid of them. So God can make you a vessel of honor. Clean up old habits. You see, to have a wonderful, pure piece of clay, the potter must clean it. He must work it. Don't you glad that the potter is still working on you? Let me tell you, I've been saved for almost 24 years. And let me tell you, he's still working on me. He's still taking the impurities out of me. He still do it. It is true that even today, these lumps of clay still hold a lot of hot air. Sometimes we even call people hotheads. Why? Because they have air pockets that needed to come out. Maybe many people are full of air pockets that need to come out. Some people say, I can't help myself. I'm Italian. I can't help myself. I'm Portuguese. We just talk loud. I tell you, some people just talk loud. Go to my house, it's a loud house. But let me tell you, it's not, listen, but it's not being just loud for being loud. It's when we're being loud in a way that shouldn't, is not acceptable. God says, get rid of those old habits. Listen, folks, before I got saved, I too was full of hot air. I was the opinion that life was to be about me, myself, and I. I was proud and many times arrogant, hard-headed, and full of hot air. And gave my mom and dad a run for their money. But I thank God that the potter who took hold of me, and since the date I've got saved, he put me in the wheel and began to mold me and took those impurities out of me. He's still taking it out. But don't look at the potter and say, not this one, not this one. Take it, Lord. Take it, Lord. I believe that when we are created God, got the lump of dirt and shaped it into the form of man, he removed all the impurities, all the unwanted things away from the man before he breathed in the breath of life in him. What I say here is this. I say it because God created man with love, and God created something that was beautiful. Look what it says. It says in Psalm 139, verse 14, I praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, that my soul knoweth right well. So God made something beautiful, but sin polluted. Sin polluted. When God created man, he made something beautiful. Actually, man is the crown of God's creation, but sin polluted. And let me tell you, because of sin, many of us have so much impurities that needs to go out. Sinful thoughts, sinful actions, sinful attitudes, all those things need to go out in order for the potter to mold you. So number three, you see the potter's problem. Look at verse 4. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel and seemed good to the potter to make it. See, when the clay has impurities and air pockets and is marred in the hands of the potter, in other words, the clay was not designed to come out the way the potter designed it to. When the potter puts a piece of clay in the wheel, he already in his mind knows what he wants to do with that piece of clay. That's why, you know, when the potter works the clay, and every piece of things that he creates, it never comes out the same. You have to go see it. It's not machine made, it's handmade. He works on that. And every time it's always something different. Look, about me and you. We human beings, we made of flesh and blood. But let me tell you, we all different. We have different makeup. We have different thinking. We have different ways of perceive life. But let me tell you, that's the way God made you. He molds you that way. Actually, the word marred in verse 4 in the Hebrew means destruction. In other words, if the vessel is not good for anything except destruction, the vessel serves no productive purpose for the potter. Listen, please, when we are outside of the word of God, you allow impurities and self-importance to permeate in your life, and you don't fulfill the purpose in which God has created you for. As a result of such actions, you become of no use for the potter. People outside of the will of God have no productive purpose for the potter. And let me tell you, people who are not saved in this world, they have no purpose in the hand of the potter. They're just existing. They were created by God. God loves them. But God wants them to arise and go to the potter's house so he can mold them and work in them. So is the Christian when he's full of sin and away from God's word. God cannot mold that person. And people say, I'm okay. Thank you very much. I don't need God. I don't need his church. Oh, you do need the hand of God in your life. You need him to mold you. And if you're not saved, let me tell you, you need to go to the potter's house. Otherwise, when you die and gone, you're nothing but destruction. Listen, if you don't believe me, pick up a Bible and read it. It's the best I can tell you. If you don't believe me, you pick up a Bible and read it. Go to Romans chapter 10 and see what God says there. Because sometimes we need to see for ourselves. Listen, if we are not saved and we don't allow us to go, we don't arise and go to the potter's house so he can mold us and make us something good. Let me tell you that. You're a piece of clay that is worth nothing. And you're headed for destruction. The clay only purpose is to be fashioned by the hands of the potter. You know, people think sometimes, listen, all of us love the American dream, don't we? Have a good house, a good life, a good job, money in the bank, vacations, you know, eat good. Ah, the American dream is wonderful. But that's the only thing, if that's the only thing you die with, you wasted your life away. Listen, God created you and me for one purpose. He said, what's the purpose? Listen to me. Well, the purpose that God created you and me and put you on the face of the earth is so you can live a life giving glory to him. Amen. That is the only purpose. And if you don't believe me, read the Bible. Don't just read one chapter. Read the Bible from cover to cover and you will see what God says. We are the crown of God's glory, but he created us for a purpose to glorify him. He didn't create robots. He didn't program us to do what he wants. He wants you to worship him. He wants you to serve him. He wants you to glorify him out of your heart and mind and say, I want to do this out of my own will. That's what God wants to do. See, he says to you and me, arise and go to the potter's house. You know what he says to you and me? He's telling you to give you that choice to arise and go. He's not going to get you. He's telling you to go to the potter's house. Number 4, the potter's pressure application. You must never thought this, especially if you don't know that much about pottery. Let me tell you that the potter works and shapes the clay. When he does that, he applies pressure. Water and pressure. See, if the clay is going around and the potter has a little thing of water there and he puts his hands in the water and he applies pressure to the clay and the clay begins to be molded to something beautiful. Pressure. Get this. After the potter cleans the clay, takes the impurities out of the clay, and the air bubbles out of the clay. He puts the clay on the wheel. He begins to work it, and it applies pressure in order to shape that piece of clay into something beautiful. I believe the Lord, after we get saved, and as we begin to process this, the process of sanctification, He begins to shape our lives in order to change us into the image of His Son. You know how He does that by applying pressure unto our lives. He puts pressure, He presses us to shape us to be something beautiful. You have to go to a potter's house and see how go online and look at it. How the potter just works the clay and puts pressure in there. For what? Because he wants something good. Look what it says in Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknown, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Now, if you read this verse, don't get stuck in the first words. Read the whole verse. Okay? For whom he did foreknow, he also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that we might be the first fruit among many brethren. Let me tell you this. God is not a Calvinist, so if you have a Calvinistic mind, you're going to get stuck in the first words. Read the whole verse. The purpose that it says right here, for whom he did foreknow, he also predestinated what? For those who will get saved, they will be conformed or be transformed to the image of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
How he does that? By applying pressure to our lives. As we get saved, we begin to live in this world, and he begins to mold us slowly into the image of Jesus. That's the purpose. Now, ironically, many people don't like pressure. They don't like to be pressed at work. They quit. Oh, goodness, when I was in management, you give a lot of pressure to people. Before you know it, was so-and-so. You're gone. I said, I just tell them to do something. They don't like pressure. They leave. Some of them even say they have too much pressure at work. They go on work leave for a time. Too much pressure. They don't like to be pressed at work. They don't like pressure at home. They don't like to be pressure at all. Why? Because it's not a good feeling to be pressed. No one wants to be pressure or inside of a pressure cooker. Need to be inside of, like I said, need to be inside of a pressure cooker. Many people don't do good with pressure. Oh, don't press me. Don't push me against the wall. Oh, you know, listen. I don't care what we do. There's always pressure. It's always pressure. Life is that's the way life is. It's always pressure. Listen, if you go on the street and you mind your own business, drive your car, and you go on an early Saturday morning joyride, and you're doing like 20, 15 on a 50, before you know, you got pressure behind you. Yeah. Did somebody want to push you off the road? You know? So listen, why people say, listen to what people say. I have to get away from this job because there's too much pressure. I have to get away from this marriage because there's too much pressure. I have to get away from these people because there's too much pressure. I have to get away to where people won't press me. Oh, wow. I hope you can find a place. Yeah. You know, some people take a vacation and sometimes they come home, they're more tired than they were before they went on vacation. Listen, I've been home for 16 days. I feel like I need another 16. But let me tell you, if you arise and you go to the potter's house, guess what he's going to do to you? He's going to apply pressure. But that pressure is for your own good.
Amen.
That pressure is to mold you, to make something wonderful out of you. Well, now, listen to me well now. All right, you say, I don't want to be pressed by the potter. You will be pressed by the world. Let me tell you, you might not believe this, but if you look at the world through the eyes of Jesus, all right, you will see how the world philosophy molds millions of people constantly every day.
That's right.
And they shape people to think the way they want them to think. They have those ideologies and they make people think the way they want. They're being pressed and pressured by the world, not the planet. But let me tell you, all of us are going to arise this year. You either go to the wheel of the world or you arise and go to the potter's house.
Yep.
It's your choice. It's your choice. Listen, I don't want you to get out of here today and say, Oh, Pastor, it was a good message. I want you to chew on it and make a decision what you're going to do this year about what house you're going to go. You go to the wheel of the world or you go into the potter's house. God says to you and me, arise. Why should? What should we do with pressure? For one, don't run away from it, but learn to deal with pressure.
Amen.
We don't learn to deal with pressure of life by running away from it.
That's right.
We deal with it. Sometimes it's not very pleasant, but we deal with it. If you look, go to the potter's house and you see him working, sometimes he's molding a piece of clay there, and sometimes doesn't look too good. He doesn't apply pressure enough. Guess what? He washes his hand and he puts the hand back again, try to put more pressure there to make something that he wanted to do in the first place. You know why? Because he wants something good out of it. Now, one of the problems of our society is that people don't like pressure. Number five. The potter's patience. Look at verse 6. O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Look what God asks here. He says, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, say the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. You see what God says here? If the hand produces pressure, then the wheel produces patience. Think about how boring it is to be in the potter's wheel. Some people, listen, we live in a fast-paced society. We want everything we order here and we want it now. We even go to Amazon and like, we want to order on Amazon, boop, boop, online, we want the thing already in our door. That's how impatient we are. We people, we want to hear now. We are spoiled. And let me tell you, but if you go to if you arise and you go to the potter's house, God says to you and me, get in the wheel and wait, because I'm going to make something beautiful out of you. Be patient.
Amen.
You know something? Many of us have no patience at all. It's unfortunate, but many of us have no patience at all. Many times, we go around the wheel, we must be submissive to the potter's will. As the potter puts his hands on the clay, he applies pressure, and with great patience, he works the clay. Listen, you have a lot of lumps, all of us. We have a lot of lumps, a lot of unwanted pieces of stuff there in our clay thing that God needs to take off. And you know how he's going to take that out of you? With patient. He's going to work and mold you, but there's a lot of unwanted things that he doesn't want in your life, and it takes patience, because you know what's going to happen? God is taking it out and you're pulling it back. God is taking it out and you're pulling it back. What is it? All kinds of, we talk about all the bad habits. The bad habits that doesn't give glory to God, they need to come out.
Right.
In order for him to mold you and me. But let me tell you, we pull it back. God, no, I need this one. You can't take this away from me. And God says, let it go, child. Let it go, child. You're not going to regret it. And it takes patience, because the Lord is so patient with you and me. He allows you to hold on to it, but he keeps putting a little pressure on you so you can let it go. You can let it go. I remember when I was a kid, I had one of my teeth right here was wiggling. And I wanted to get it out, but I was so afraid. And my mom said to me, listen, child, I'm going to put this little thread in there, and you're going to pull it nice and slow. Oh, what a nightmare. I don't want it. So when my mom tried to pull it out, I was like, no, I was holding her hand so she wouldn't pull it. And I can remember for a good amount of time she was there trying to put pressure to it, and I was holding it back. That's exactly what we're doing to God. God says, let go. And we say, no, I need this here. And you know what? When it came out, I was thankful. And you know what happens when God takes that unwanted pieces out of our life? When it's gone, we say, Lord, thank you. See, that's the patience of the potter. He wants us to be patient. So if you arise, you need to go to the potter's house. and be patient as He works in you. Folks, as we live in this fast-paced society trying to keep our cool, we need to learn to be patient. The farmer waits patiently for his crops to grow before the harvest. Your mother waited 9 months for you patiently. The potter patiently works the wheel to make a beautiful vessel for the master's use. Guess what you need to do? You need to be patient. And the patience, listen, it's for your own good. Because God wants to make something good out of you. If somebody doesn't drive fast enough in front of you, you run out of patience, don't we? Yeah. And we start criticizing. And sometimes somebody says to me, you know what, maybe you should look at the speed limit. How many times I'm guilty of that? Somebody driving the speed limit, and for us, that's not our speed. So we lose patience. Because if the road is 25 and we're doing 60, guess what? They're right in front of us, we're wrong. But we don't have any patience. And God says, child, arise, come to my house, and I will mold you. You know, some Christians are not very moldable. They don't change. They're not very moldable. They don't see how could this book change their lives. They're not very moldable. They believe. They're saved. They believe in the Word of God. But that's how far they go. They don't make no application of God's Word. They live according to the philosophies of the world. They never take time to go to the potter's house and patiently let the potter shape them. Listen, folks, that's the problem of a lot of Christians. We need to go to the potter's house. Number six, the potter likes moldable clay. Look, it says again in our verse six right here, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as the potter, as this potter? See, God takes Jeremiah to the potter's house so he can see for himself. And he asks the question, O house of Israel. You know why God says that's because God's people, Israel is God's people, and God wants to mold them. And they're continually walking away from God. And God says, asks the question, O house of Israel, cannot I do to you what this potter's doing to the clay? Here's the question for you this morning. God says to you and me, can I do to you what the potter does to the clay? Why are so many Christians not moldable? It's because they are in the wheel of the world. The world is shaping them. Lot was living with Abraham. Blessings. He was being molded by God. But when Lot took his eyes off that and put his eyes in Sodom, guess what happened to Lot? He began to be molded by the wheel of the world. And before we know, as we continue to look at the life of Lot, guess what happened to that man? He made a mess out of his life and his life out of his family. Because of him, many things happen. I'm not saying that everybody was turned like Lot, but it's a lot of headache and troubles and trials and tribulations of life that we go through. Yeah. But we could avoid if we were in the potter's wheel. Right. Listen. Some people think, or some Christians think, that going to God's house or going to the potter's house, it is a favor to do unto the potter. Let me tell you, that type of mentality is so wrong. When God wants to make something beautiful out of us, we think we do a favor to God by going to the potter's house. Listen, we need God more than God needs us. That's the thing. We need them more than we need us. First of all, we need him for salvation because in our own we cannot make it to heaven.
That's
But we need God for everyday life as well. What Jesus said, I came that you have more, have life and have them more abundantly. He came to make a difference in our lives. He came so he can have meaning in the lives that we live. We think that we do God a favor by going to his house. Oh, goodness. I think that many people think when they get to heaven, they're doing God a favor as well. Goodness. It is God that says to you and me, arise and come to my house. Yep. And he says right here, he asks the question, O house of Israel, can I do with you as a despotter? Why God asked that question? Because they were hard clay. They didn't want to listen to what God had to say. He said, well, do these people have the word of God? They saw the miracles in front of their very eyes. Yes, they did. But guess what? Their hearts were hard. Listen, when our hearts are hard, nothing gets in. Isn't that Jesus said in Revelation, I come and knock in your door? And what happened when he knocks? The doors are locked. And he says, I want to sup with you. And why we don't allow God to sup with us? You know, God knocking in our door. For us to go to the potter's house. And we say, I'm too busy. Because you know, I'm doing this, I'm doing this, I'm doing this, I'm watching this, I'm watching this thing. I don't have time for the potter right now. You know who's losing? The clay. Amen. The potter likes moldable clay. Let me ask you this question this morning. Are you moldable? Are you patient enough to sit at the potter's wheel and allow yourself to be molded by the Lord? Let me give you an example of people. People just like me and you, who made a wonderful difference in this world because they were moldable. Fanny Crosby was in the hands of the potter. Somebody asked her a question at the end of her life. Fanny, she was blind. From childhood, if you were to have your eyesight right now, who were the first person you wanted to see? Without hesitation, she said, Jesus. You know what? That was the first person she saw when she died.
Amen.
Jesus. She was moldable. She wrote almost 9,000 hymns, and more than many of them we sing. Fanny Crosby. David, the Bible says, a man after God's own heart. Was he moldable? Oh, yes, he was. Did he make mistakes? Yes, he did. Did God have to take those things out of that clay? Yes, he did. Joseph, a man of integrity. Was he moldable? Yes. Can we find integrity in our world today and character? Very rare to find. Daniel, a prisoner of war in Babylon. Was he moldable? Yes. Listen, folks, those people had nothing special in them. They were just people just like me and you. There's one thing that they did. They did not sit in the wheel of the world. They arise and they went to the potter's house and allow God to mold them. Those people simply fell in the hands of the potter and allowed to be molded. Number six, we're almost done. The potter's pleasure. Make the vessel right to fit in the proper way to the potter as he designed it. Let me tell you, when God put a person in the potter or the clay in the potter, he has one vision for that person. Yeah, he's going to mold that vessel for something that he wants. That's why you and me, you and I, all of us here, we have different purposes in life. God has a purpose for you, has a purpose for me, has a purpose for all of us. You know why? Because he shapes us differently. We wonder why we don't look alike. You wonder why we don't think alike. You wonder why we don't act alike. Because that's the way the potter made us. But he continued to shape us. For his pleasure. I conclude with this. New Year's Day is a time for change, a time for new beginnings, a time for new starts, a time for new things. And let me tell you this. We're going to go on this journey, learning with the Master. Let me tell you, you're going to go out, you're going to arise, and you're going to sit at a wheel this year. And you're going to be molded by that potter. You either go to the pottery of this world and let the world shape your mind, shape your life, or you arise and go to the potter's house and let the potter mold you. Where are you heading to in 2021? I think it's a good way of be a visionary for this year. Which wheel am I going to sit into? Which wheel am I going to allow to mold me this year? Listen, I made my choice. I can't make a choice for you. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to the potter's house. And I'm going to allow him to mold me. Because there's still a lot of impurities in me that he needs to take out. But I want you to make that decision yourself. I think that's a good way of envisioning the year. Where am I going? Am I going to live with this fear and uncertainty and all these things that go on around me that I cannot control? Or I'm just going to the potter's house like the potter is calling me to and allow him to mold me? Listen, that's a choice you have to make between you and God. Let me tell you, are you saved here this morning? Don't play with church. Don't play with religion.
Yep.
Don't play with God. Because in the end, you lose. God wants to save you. He wants to give you a place in heaven. That's a good God, isn't it? You know what he wants from you? It's very simple. Why don't you admit that you are a sinner? Why don't you admit that you're guilty before him? Just like the person did in the Gospels. Lord, forgive me, a sinner. Ask God to forgive you. And the potter said, I forgive you. It's that simple. And he will put you in his wheel and it will mold you for a vessel of honor. Let's pray.